That better? I'm going to start again. Good morning and welcome to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ here in Soldotna, Alaska. My name is Liz, and we're so glad that you've joined us this morning for our adult Sunday school class. We are continuing in our Old Testament study of the book of 1 Kings, and today we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 1, looking closely at verses 11 through 14. So if you'll turn with me this morning to 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Our question this morning is number 4. I'm going to read that, and I also see it's been put up on the website. So our question reads, Nathan goes to Bathsheba with a plan. Explain what they are doing. What are your thoughts about this plan? So let's read here in 1 Kings, the first chapter, verses 11 through 14. Wherefore Nathan spoke unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou may savest thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst thou not, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. So just a little review of where we're at in our study. In these last weeks, we've looked very closely at Adonijah, King David's son, that would have been next in line to the throne according to the traditions of that day. But we see that it is God who decides who will follow King David to the throne. It will not be Adonijah. It will instead be Solomon, a younger son of David's. From our point of view, we can see the wisdom of God in that decision. As we've looked closely at the man Adonijah is, we can kind of imagine what type of king he would have been. He was a very self-centered man with seemingly no care of the people. God has always had the ability to take care of his people. We also know from the scriptures that King David had put things in order while he was still alive. We know that King David listened to God's instructions that Solomon would follow him to the throne and also build the temple. We read in 1 Chronicles in several chapters where King David passed that information along to the proper channels so all would know and understand. So, as we read these verses, we see where Nathan and Bathsheba seek a way to deal with the problem that has existed. And they have a big problem before them. As we have read, Adonijah, with the aid of Joab, the general of the army, and Abiathar, the high priest, has begun the process to set himself up as king. Lynn brought out last week how Adonijah has sacrificed animals and began a great feast. He's quite calculated in who he invites to this feast. He is, after all, wanting to set up his cabinet that would reign with him. In verse 9 here in 1 Kings chapter 1, it tells us Adonijah called all his brethren the king's son, which we know is not fully true because he did not call Solomon. It also says that he called all the men of Judah of the king's servants. These would have been family members working with and for King David. And as Lynn pointed out last week, Adonijah would have been going about making his plans and his desires known to the people he hoped would support him. It's very obvious that Adonijah has deceived himself with his own plan. He is convinced that he can do this and set himself up as king of Israel. His actions and his words show very clearly his thoughts and his intentions. So let's look closely at verses 11 and 12 here. Reading just verse 11 first. Wherefore, Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Nathan the prophet is well aware of what is going on. And Nathan, as we have seen through the scriptures, is a man of God. And we see that by the way he deals with God's people. When he comes to Bathsheba, he is respectful. He comes in that spirit of God with godly advice. And he asks her a direct question. Hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Have you heard what's going on? And David our Lord doesn't know what is taking place. He is respectful to Bathsheba, and he is respectful to King David, who at this time is not part of this conversation. Read verse 12. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. We're going to assume that Bathsheba probably knew something was going on. Again, that's my own assumption. But I think that by the very way that Adonijah has conducted himself, he's not trying to hide anything. He's doing just the opposite. He's being quite public, and he's been, in order to gain this following, he's been very public with his plan. But Bathsheba, as a woman, would have had very little power to stop or do anything about Adonijah without any help. And Adonijah certainly doesn't seem to be a man that would have been willing to listen to Bathsheba or a woman or anyone for that matter. One thing we have seen in David's family is that there's been quite a bit of sibling rivalry, and I'm sure that extended to the wives and the concubines. So I think we can safely say that she did not have an option of trying to talk with Adonijah or even dealing with this problem on her own. So she was probably quite glad that Nathan has come to her and offering a solution to this problem. Verse 13, go and get thee in unto King David and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaiden, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? So here's Nathan's advice. Again, we see that respect due King David. She is to go and speak to King David first and ask two direct questions that tell King David quite clearly what is going on. Did you not promise that Solomon would reign in your stead after you? And if you did, why is Adonijah reigning? So read verse 14. Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. While Bathsheba is talking, Nathan will come in and confirm her words. King David at this time has possibly not heard of any of this. He is, after all, in failing health, and they would have been trying to protect him, keep him at peace. So the importance of Nathan confirming her words is pivotal, especially to King David. King David obviously fully trusts both Bathsheba and Nathan. And again, out of the mouth of two witnesses confirming the same truth, especially two trusted witnesses. So to answer the question, to explain what Nathan and Bathsheba are doing, they are working in a godly way to handle an ungodly situation. And they are doing this for the good of God's people. Neither one of them has their own agenda, unlike Adonijah, who certainly has his own agenda. Nathan, especially as the prophet, has a very good understanding of what is going on. And with God leading and guiding, God's will be accomplished. They look at this situation, which is beginning to get out of control. Adonijah has gained the needed support from Joab and Abiathar and some of the people. With the support of Abiathar, the priest, as Lynn pointed out last week, sacrifices have been made and a celebration is taking place, all very public. So Nathan realizes things must happen quickly to stop what is taking place. So he gains the help of Bathsheba, and they start where they can. I do really wish that we were together because I would love to hear your thoughts on this question. What do you think of their plan? When I first read these scriptures, I kind of thought, this is very interesting. Nathan telling Bathsheba what to ask and then Nathan coming in at a planned time. But as I began to study and dig into this incident, three things stood out to me. Number one, King David had already publicly let it be known that Solomon would follow him to the throne. And we know that King David received that from God, and he was very clear to make that fact known to all the people. Again, as I said before, we read a lot of those scriptures in 1 Chronicles. David was very public with this. He had already set things in order of what was to happen after his passing. The second thing is Nathan the prophet. His sole intention in this whole situation is to see that God's will is carried out. His sole intention is to see that God's will is carried out. He has no hidden agenda. And number three, because this directly affects Bathsheba and Solomon, he wisely includes her. Again, there is no hidden agenda on the part of Nathan other than God's will. Nathan knows and understands full well what God knows is best for his people. He knows who will be the next leader over his people. Nathan is a humble, obedient man of God, and his first priority is God and then God's people. And he will do what he can to see that God's will is fulfilled. Nathan does tell Bathsheba that to protect her own life and the life of her son Solomon, the next king, that they need to act and act now. Part of next week's question will deal with whether Bathsheba and Solomon would be in danger if Adonijah would reign next. So we'll save that for next week. But we can assume that Bathsheba also is not in this for herself either. She too had an understanding that it was God's will that Solomon would reign after David. Again, King David was very public about what was to happen after his passing and very orderly. My thoughts? This is a godly way to handle an ungodly situation and ungodly people. It's a good plan and it gets the desired results, God's will. In the next weeks, we're going to look very closely and in detail about this plan and how it was put into action. But one thing that made this situation somewhat easier to deal with was the fact that Nathan knew God's will and that King David had lined things out very orderly of who was to succeed him. I had to stop and think of my own life and the days that we're living in. There are a lot of problems and situations that I don't know the answer for. And that's very hard. It tests my faith. We often say that we are living in the time of sorrows, as Jesus spoke on the Mount of Olives. And part of the sorrows is exactly the things in our lives that we don't have the answers for yet. But we must instead walk by faith. But if one thing we can learn from this situation, it's the importance of planning and allowing God to lead at every stage of our lives. In this time of sorrows, we live in a time of uncertainty. And again, that's hard. But with God, we can not only survive these times of uncertainty, but we can grow in these times of uncertainty. I want to turn to John, the 14th chapter. I'm going to be reading several verses in John 14. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7, 18 through 21, and 26 through 27. Again, we're going to go into the New Testament Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7, 18 through 21, 26 and 27. John had such a wonderful understanding of who Jesus Christ was. And his gospel is different from the other three. It makes for wonderful reading. When we were going to the home or long-term care, those of you who remember Louisa, one of the residents there, loved this chapter and often asked us to read it to her. So again, we are in John, the 14th chapter. I'm going to begin in verses 1 through 4 to start with. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I appreciate these verses so much. They bring me so much comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. But sometimes it's difficult to not have a troubled heart in this day and age. But these verses remind us of where our focus needs to be, on our Father and a place that He has prepared for us. For us, His children, whom He has fearfully and wonderfully made. The promise that He will come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we may be also, and where He goes, we'll know. These verses often help me to readjust my focus. Sometimes my focus can be on what I see and what I feel and what I'm dealing with, the problems and the situations that I don't yet have the answers for. Let's read verses 5 through 7. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Thank goodness there was a Thomas who did not fully understand, and he asked more questions, desiring a better understanding. He's often called the doubting Thomas, but he just asked out loud what others were thinking. Because he desired a greater understanding, and he asked, we and all who take the time to read this Bible benefit from his questions. We, being full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' names, fully understand these scriptures. We understand that Jesus and God are one. The works, the miracles, teachings, all the things Jesus did on this earth, he did through the power of God dwelling in him. If you go on and read all these verses in the next, read the whole chapter, we see Jesus very patiently answering and explaining to the apostles that one day his Spirit would come and live inside them. That Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, would be a free gift offered to all mankind. It was the same Spirit of God working through the man Jesus Christ. Drop down now to verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. This word comfortless here means bereft or bereaved, as one without a parent. He will not leave us as orphans, alone, without love and guidance. Go now to verses 19 through 21. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Again, we fully understand these verses because we have received that Holy Ghost inside. We have been baptized in Jesus' name. And we walk daily, striving to keep his commandments, to love one another as he has loved us. He has manifested himself or revealed himself to each one of us. Verses 26 through 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How much I needed to hear these verses, and I do need to hear them time and time again, to remind myself that Jesus is the one in control of my life. The lessons he has taken the time to teach me in my life, the reminders he brings to my mind on how he has helped me in the past, the promise that he will never leave me comfortless or orphaned without a parent to lead and to guide and love me throughout my whole life. God will always be there to lead and guide if we seek him for his guidance. There is never a time in our life where we will not need God's guidance. There'll never be a time where we not need to seek him on what to do or how to do it or when to do it with whatever problems come into our life. There's never a time that we outgrow our God. He will always be there to lead and guide. The uncertainty in this world and in my own life can and does trouble my heart at times. Things I don't have answers for right now. Staying in the New Testament, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and just verse 7. New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and just verse 7. Again, we're in the New Testament still. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And just verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This word fear here is similar to our word timid or lacking confidence or faith. That does not come from God. It doesn't mean we don't feel that way sometimes, because we do. But what we do have that does come from God is power, or dunamis, as we have studied. This power is God's power. It's power to change and to move, power to do something and anything that is needed in our lives. And along with that power comes a sound mind, a mind that is capable of making sound decisions or good judgment. We have power and a sound mind with the Holy Ghost. That brings us stability through the Holy Ghost in this unstable world. So going back to Nathan, we can learn and follow his steps on how he handled the situation before him. And as we go further in the next weeks, we will look in detail of how they handled this situation from the beginning to the end. But today, we're just looking at what we know and what has been done so far. First, there is no doubt that Nathan sought God first. Nathan is aware of God's will. That is always the first thing we must do when facing challenges before us. Whatever decision we need to make, how to handle what is happening in our daily lives, seek God, who has promised us he will not leave us orphaned. Seek God, who has given us as individuals in a body the spirit of power and a sound mind to help make those decisions. We often don't know the answer, like Nathan did, but we do know godly behavior and choices will bring godly results. That takes faith. That applies to every part of our life. Again, godly behavior and choices will bring godly results for us as individuals and us as a body. Next, Nathan realizes he must make King David aware of what is going on. He also realizes that this directly affects Bathsheba and Solomon and her son. So he includes Bathsheba in his plans. He starts where he is and he moves forward with God. Throughout this whole situation, Nathan behaves himself godly. So just looking at this situation to this point will help us when making decisions in our own lives. And many of us are facing tough decisions. It doesn't seem to matter what stage of life we are at. Each stage of life brings its own challenges and difficulties. But with God and his mind, we have access to his wisdom, his ways, and his thoughts on how to handle the challenges that come into our life. Using what we have talked about today, follow these simple steps to begin to seek answers for what may be troubling you today. First thing, as always, is prayer. Prayer has a way of putting everything into perspective. Prayer also brings peace to a troubled heart and an unsettled mind. When our hearts are troubled or our minds are unsettled, it's hard to hear God. Prayer accesses the mind of God and his wisdom. Move forward from where you are at and involve those around you who can help. That sometimes can be tough. But like Nathan, he understood this affected Bathsheba and he brought her alongside him to help him. They worked in unity and respectfully, godly with each other, for the desired end, God's will, not their own agenda. We live in a very high-stress world, which is ever-changing, making it even more stressful for us. Because many of those changes impact our daily lives. More than ever, we must fight to keep our focus on God and his word. It's through his guidance that we can tread godly through these times of sorrow. Turn in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, 29th chapter, verses 11 through 13. Old Testament, Jeremiah 29, And we'll be reading verses 11 through 13. Again, we are going to Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. I'm going to start with just verse 11 first. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Excuse me here. Just verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give to you an expected end. I know the thoughts or plans that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. This evil here means calamities. God's plans for us are not calamities, but peace. But if, unfortunately, we will and do have calamities that come into our life. Yet he holds out a hope to give us an expected end. This expected end refers to a future hopeful way. He desires a peaceful solution to our problems that we are going through while on this earth. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. How true are those words? We will find God and his guidance when we seek it with our whole heart. Seek him for a plan on how to deal with what is happening in our own lives. Use his power and his sound mind to help us deal with the difficulties of this life. Each one of us are so different, and we all deal with the stress in our lives in different ways because it affects us all in different ways. Turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. I read these verses on Sunday, and I do want to read them again. New Testament book of Galatians, 6th chapter, and verses 9 through 10. Flipping back to the New Testament, book of Galatians, 6th chapter, verses 9 through 10, and I'm going to read verse 9 first. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. If we faint not, if we don't lose hope. We can't be weary in well-doing, in walking godly before God on a daily basis, in our words and our choices. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are the household of faith, and many of us are facing difficulties that we could use God's guidance. Seek God for what plans he has for you. We have gone through times of stress and calamity in this body and in this world before, and unfortunately, we'll probably see more stress and calamity before he takes us home. But we are of the household of faith. We never walk alone. Take some advice from Nathan the prophet. Start where you are at seeking God's guidance on what the next step should be. Come alongside with someone. Walk together in God towards the expected, hopeful end. I want to finish this morning reading the 23rd Psalm. This is such a simple psalm, and it's probably one that most of us know by heart. There's only 6 verses in it, but I want to read the whole psalm. Again, Psalms 23, and I will be reading the whole psalm. Just 6 verses. Whoops. Psalms 23. Psalms 23. I'm going to be beginning with verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Such simple, beautiful words that really do comfort our souls. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God truly can take care of all of our needs and our wants. We trust him with our lives on that daily basis and everything that comes into our life. He recognizes when we need rest, when our soul needs restoring. Then once we have rested and we feel restored, we begin again with God leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Picking up in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Such a stark contrast to those green pastures and still waters. But now as we continue on the path of righteousness, we must sometimes walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We must then walk through some of the most difficult times. Yet it says, have no fear of the evil or the calamities we encounter, because our Savior is still leading and guiding and always offering that comfort. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. There is never a time that God is not with us. He is always walking with us, leading and guiding and giving us strength that we need. We can face every battle that comes into our lives. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our expected end. Goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our life, no matter what we're facing. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we follow the path of righteousness that he has laid out for us, we can get through all of this. Thank you so much for joining me today. Again, I ask that you join us at 1 o'clock for our afternoon service. Again, thank you, and may God bless.